To welcome you all here today, and good morning to everyone. And having said that, I'd like to, if you'd please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Frank, would you lead us in the pledge?
I would be honored, Chair. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Director? Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. Just a couple of introductions, presentations, and announcements. The following board members, just for the record, are not in attendance today. That's going to be Assistant Attorney General Paul Ehler, as well as Deputy Chris Pittman. On the phone, you're going to have Sheriff Mark Daniels, Matt Medina, and Matt Giordano is also going to join us on the phone. Really quick, Matt talked about this last week, but Dave Tepork, if you could please stand for us. Dave is our newest compliance specialist. And so Dave retired out of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. He was there for roughly 37 years, retired as a deputy chief. We're very fortunate to have him. He's going to take over the western half of Arizona. So we're expecting big things from him.
Well,
and also we have Mr. Paul Forshee. And Paul is a retired lieutenant colonel out of the Army. He actually retired about 8 years ago. We are really fortunate to have him with the AG's office. Obviously, there's that military-paramilitary fit that he's going to have with us. For the last 8 years, he's dabbled a little bit with defense contractors, Raytheon, in Dubai, training, you know, helicopter pilots, things of that nature. So we're very fortunate. One of the good things about this, I think, you know, Matt talked about before, is with that second attorney, we're trying to get some of those older cases worked through. Paul has got one of the bigger cases over at up in northern Arizona. He ended up taking six cases from 2016. So as we start working from the tail end to the beginning, we're going to sandwich this in the middle. So Mark Brathel has done a fantastic job just on that. But welcome.
Yeah, welcome, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
Also today you're going to have Jean Galvin. She's going to support just walled off from Mark on the Sciante case. So she'll be our lawyer for that. As far as case updates, there are a few modifications. So I apologize, this came late in the hour. But item E is an Edward slight modification. This is going to be for the Arizona petition, reference Game and Fish, and it's a petition for Matthew Hayes. And so we do have a representative from one of the sergeants from Game and Fish that will speak on that as well. Case update on item G. It's a final action case, and it's going to be Richard Morales, and that's going to be 19-081. And I believe Sandy already put those attachments inside of your book. And the final case update that I'm going to have for you is we've got the new cases. This will be Robert Folker, 18-154, as well as Justin Keeling, 18-151. We're going to table that. You will see that case come before you next month in November.
And we were also tabling G5, is that what you had said, under for the Morales 19?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's going to be.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Morales actually will be heard. It's been amended.
Okay.
So you'll have that. You should have that amended portion in there.
Okay, thank you. Great. And if you'd like to keep going, that's fine with where we're at.
Sir, I'll go over the director's report. And just as I conclude today, the reason the screen's down, you're going to actually, most of you, we've talked, but you're going to see Matt Giordano's video. It's about a two-minute presentation. Hopefully, all of the board after today will get a chance to see that. But if you'll remember, this is 160 agencies, department heads were mailed. This is sort of a survey just on what you would like to see. As you know, there are rule changes that are afoot right now that we are working on, hopefully something that you'll see and we can produce to you at 2020. But this is part of a survey that was developed, again, by the doctors over at ASU. And coupled with that, we have potential police applicants and law enforcement applicants, meaning ASU students, U of A students, and NAU students. So we've got the three universities, the biggest of all, that are also taking a similar survey just on what expectations are. So after this is all tallied, Kip Rustenberg has done a great job with ASU, and we're hoping to present this. Again, this is aggregate data, so it's not what did the Yavapai sheriff think or what did the Scottsdale police chief think. Again, it's just going to be something you'll get the results of this, and ASU keeps all of that under their vest. Really quickly, the CGEF funds, as far as the budget, it was a bit higher this month when talking to Lynn Perkle. That's typical of this time of year. So we're about where we need to be, just a little bit short if you average it out. One of the things, and I know Matt continuously harps on this, Jacqueline did a tremendous job with that budget. Having said that, I do want to recognize Mike Oroz, a former major with DPS. But Mike has done a phenomenal job on a lot of the things that we've asked of him. Right now, we are going through a lot of the building maintenance and some of the things. You're going to start seeing, you know, this place reformed as far as even the dais and this the paneling, you know, just for the board members and some of the other things, the AV equipment that just has never been updated. Well, it hasn't been updated for a long, long time. As we are providing other training, we want to have the best for Arizona law enforcement. And so some of the equipment that we are using is just so antiquated. Having said that, you're going to see some of this money being spent on digitizing records. We have records, paper records, that are in our storeroom, in our mezzanine, that have been over there for three decades. And so, again, it's just in case of a fire, a flooding, anything else that can happen to this building, we want to make sure those records are protected and retained according to state law. So some of these projects Matt will talk about as the months progress, and we'll give you what we are doing here. But Mike has done a tremendous job on getting all that, and not only that, he's in charge of our ALP and all the other training. But whether you see a dead tree that's about to be removed out in the front of the lawn, I mean, this is the guy who's getting the quotes for it and getting it taken care of. So, I mean, he's just done a tremendous job in that way. SRO training. I know Matt talked about this. This is the NASRO training that we had. The state procurement, we had to run around. Again, Kip Rustenberg has done a great job of just getting this funding for us. Unfortunately, the vendor that we have with NASRO had to give up some of the dates, but she's looking for other instructors. But as it stands, we are tentatively set for November. So I know this was a policy. Matt had worked with the legislators. He had also worked with the governor's office on pushing this through. It's huge. It's Department of Education. That's, you know, part of the components they wanted. They wanted those extra security from the SROs. They also wanted, you know, counselors and things of that nature. So we're fulfilling that obligation, but it may just come at a later time if we can't make that commitment in November. But the money is secured. We're just trying to get that vendor spotted. Same thing, we've got a resiliency training. Steve Stahl, the chief of Maricopa, has worked tirelessly on that. That is through the National Academy and, again, the 100 Club partnering. And so it's just a great program as far as this goes, and we've got three dates. Two are in the Valley, and one's going to be held in Prescott, so northern Arizona. So those are fall dates that we've got. Those seats fill up quickly, and, again, we're excited about the training that we're now starting to be able to offer. The rulemaking exemption, so what we were talking about earlier, again, in order to get this thing going, we had to get the governor to sign off on that. So Matt and Sandy and the rest of the staff really did a great job as far as getting this going. So the governor did sign off on that, so now we can proceed as far as these rule changes go. So a lot of the effort before that has been just great, but that's the importance of this survey going out, and we've modified and looked at some of the changes. Probably the last thing that we are looking at is sort of the drug standards, and again, that's going to be key to what I hear, what the staff here hears from the personnel, whether it's Scottsdale, whether it's DPS or Phoenix or Yavapai Sheriff or Apache Junction. I can tell you we've offered the BI schools two of them so far. One's going to go down in Tucson, and two in Tucson. We're going to have one up in Prescott, and Lori Waite's taking charge of that. She's going to go up to northeastern Arizona. But the results of those classes have already impacted your agencies, meaning we're seeing better casework out of those. And so it's really cool as far as that stuff goes, but we will continue to push forward on those cases. Again, we talked a little bit about the survey. It probably takes a department head or a personnel person about 15 minutes. I know talking to some people outside, if they weren't sure that they filled out the survey or their personnel people filled out that survey, please get with me or Matt or Dr. Cody Tellep. We will make sure. We're not going to sneak peek on anything anybody has written, but we can tell you if that survey was taken. As it stands, it's a little over, right around the two-week period, but we've already received 40 responses. We were hoping for something a little bit higher, but that's about 25%, again, out of 160 agencies. But this is important to tally that, to just sort of see what the stakeholders are looking for. And it's just important, again, to hear from you. What are you looking for? How are you looking to get your people through the finish line and be able to hire? So we have a short video that will capture this, and I'll get it played, but I can answer any questions that you may have. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, it looks good. The best I've heard him say.
We need a sign language person.
And of course, this worked perfectly yesterday.
Get the volume up.
Sorry about that. Is that enough to see? Are you done, sir? Yeah.
Can you remember him getting it? Some of the questions were like, no, we don't do that.
Better double check.
Yeah,
I said,
I know I talked
to the same thing.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Brechtel with the state of Arizona. I recognize we have a physical presence of a quorum, but I also understand we do have other members on the phone, and we haven't verbalized that yet. I asked the chairman, while we're waiting for this video to be uploaded, if you could confirm who is on the phone and present for our board meeting.
Certainly. Those on the phone, I believe Matt's there from Prescott. Good morning, Matt. Are you with us?
I am. Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you. And I believe Mark is with us from Cochise County. Sheriff Panels, are you there, sir?
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for being on the phone today. I think that'll cover our quorum with those two.
Sir, we should probably just move on at this time, and if we get this thing working, we'll bring it back.
Okay. Thank you very much. And, yeah, we'd like to take a look at it. I know it's only about 2 minutes, but if we can get it working, that would be great. You finished up the executive director's report, and with that, we'll be moving on to the consent agenda, which calls for a motion. I would ask for a motion after I assume everyone's looked at it. And with that, I'd like a motion for approval of consent.
Frank Mosted, move the consent agenda.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion?
Aye.
The motion carries. And with that, we will be moving on to discussion review, possible action, Arizona King Fish Park petition waiver of the 7-year restriction. And I believe we do have a speaker from Game and Fish as well. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Mark Brechtel with the state of Arizona. And we have two petitions that will be in front of you. The first one is under subsection E, which involves a petition from the Game and Fish Department for a waiver for applicant Matthew Hayes. And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you are correct that there is a representative from Game and Fish here who will be speaking shortly, I believe. And just by way of background, in your packet is the board communication on Officer Hayes, and it's agenda item E. So short background, during the application process, Officer Hayes disclosed that he ingested edible candy at a party, at one party, one time, and at the time he believed it to be marijuana. During the party, he ingested three pieces of candy within an hour's time period. That's the included information in your amended board communication. Everything else in the board communication is the same. So ingesting three pieces of candy, which he believed to be marijuana, at one party, and this was done within the past 7 years. And what that means for purposes of the board rules under Rule 105 is that it's a disqualifier because it occurred within the past 7 years. So this is a case involving a period of time. So at this point, the applicant, Mr. Hayes, does not currently meet the minimum qualifications for certification. He is about 2 years and 8 months short of meeting that qualification. However, Rule 103G is a waiver provision which the board has used to waive a minimum qualification under Rule 105. And that is what we're here about today. And again, I believe that the representative from Game and Fish is present and would like to speak. Any questions of me at this time?
Questions, comments?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, board members. Major Laney Antelik with the Arizona Game and Fish Department. I'm here representing our chief and assistant director. They send their apologies. They have executive staff today and wanted me to represent. We are asking for petition to waiver candidate Matthew Hayes. He's a candidate that's been known to us for a while. Our qualifications are tougher to fill because we have a specific degree requirement. And a lot of our candidates have been interning with us and volunteering with us for several years, working toward this goal. Mr. Hayes did not realize, unfortunately, when he consumed those edibles, how it would affect him. He has proven to be a worthy candidate. We stand behind him. He's actually the son of one of our retired game rangers, which doesn't give him special consideration, but it's allowed us to know him as a person over the years. He grew up on a Game and Fish property, so our officers have had a lot of exposure to him. He regrets, of course, his decision that night, didn't realize how it would affect his career. And we're just asking that we can potentially waive him for this next class that's going through in November. Currently, like every other department and agency, we're struggling to find good qualified candidates, especially with our specific degree requirement. We believe that Matthew has high integrity and will serve as a good law enforcement officer. We're just hopeful that we can waive that time requirement because it still weighs off and we don't want to lose him as a candidate. Mr. Hayes has logged over 1,000 volunteer hours over the years with the U.S. Forest Service, Game and Fish, and the Bureau of Land Management. So he's taken strides to really become a good member of society, and he works with fishing clinics, junior dove hunts. He does a lot of work in the community. So he's proven himself to be, in our opinion, a worthy candidate for the position.
Thank you very much. I think this is a perfect example of why it is we're researching and looking at the background requirements with marijuana. And so thank you for that. Is there any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, Frank Milstead, Arizona Department of Public Safety. The thing that I think that I challenge myself with mostly is by his own recollection and by the testimony that we've heard today, no one even knows what is in the edible. It's an unknown. And just as when somebody encephalates an unknown white powder that somebody tells them happens to be a substance, we really don't know what it is. The truth and whatever that is unknown. I also think the important part of this, too, is the disclosure and the amount of time that has passed. And I would agree that we end up missing out on qualified candidates in all of our agencies because of minor indiscretions where I would tell you that some of the best people we hire are people that have life experience and come through the School of Hard Knocks and want to give back and serve their community. So,
thank you. Any other comments or questions before I ask for a motion?
Just yes, sir. Mr. Chair, real quick, I just want to make sure maybe I didn't get the updated information. The information provided by post staff indicates the one piece of candy, but the letter from Game and Fish indicates smoking and taking candy, and I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right stuff.
Correct. There was a total of 5 usages. 4 were inhalation. 1 was ingestion. We counted that one use basically in consultation with Arizona Post that it was at one party, one location. He didn't leave that location, so they said to count that as one use. But, yes, you are correct. There were 5 total. The other 4 were inhalation.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? None, I ask for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Frank Milstead, Arizona Department of Public Safety. I request that suggest that the request from the Arizona Department of Game and Fish from Major Lamy and Pullock of the Game and Fish Department be granted and that the board approve the waiver.
Alan Rodbell seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries.
Aye.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for being here. All right, we'll be moving on to the next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mark Brechtel again. This is agenda item F. This is a petition from the Arizona Corporation Commission Securities Division asking for a waiver for applicant Bruce Jones. The board communication memo is in your packet under item F. And during the hiring process, Mr. Jones disclosed that when he was a teenager between 15 and 17 years old, which is 45 years ago, by the way, that he used marijuana not over 20 to 50 times. That number exceeds the qualification standards under our rules. However, Arizona Corporation Commission is petitioning the board that his prior use constitutes juvenile indiscretion under Rule 105D. And in your board communication at the bottom of the first page are the elements of juvenile indiscretion. I checked 45 years ago, it was 1974, and President Nixon, Richard Nixon, was our president. And then I realized that there may be some members of the board who actually remember watching President Nixon on TV.
Easy, careful.
Okay.
Well, they didn't have TV when you grew up.
Thanks, Frank.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I do believe that there is a representative here from the Arizona Corporation Commission Securities Division who would like to speak, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Morning, sir.
Good morning, Chairman, board members. My name is Gary Clapper. I'm the chief investigator with the Securities Division with the Arizona Corporation Commission. What we're here for today is Bruce Jones. We are petitioning for a waiver so that he can go through the waiver process. Mr. Jones admitted to using the marijuana, had no trouble with the polygraph. The latest date he said he used it was around 17. He was hired by the Mesa Police Department at age 29 and completed 25 years of service working with the air unit. He was in charge of the vehicular crimes unit there. He left and retired from Mesa, went to work for the Arizona Lottery, I believe, for 6 years. and has been with us for over a year. The incidents are so long ago, and there has been no reoccurrence. Mr. Jones also has volunteered community service and served with his church in various activities.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
So if he was in the Mesa PD for that long, how did that, was there not this process in place back when he was hired? Would a previous board have already made a decision that this was considered juvenile discretion and waived?
Mr. Chairman, Andy, yes, there were different rules that applied at that time. So those were discretionary issues. So those the marijuana wasn't captured. That was about 91 when they started capturing the usages and came up with the number of 20.
Any other questions, comments?
So just help me understand this. So the question on the polygraph is between 20 and 50 times, and it showed no deception. But then he tells the polygrapher that he believes he smoked between 7 and 10 times. He was never tested the 7 and 10 times.
No. The reasons the 20 to 50 was because of what the polygrapher felt would be comfortable, and it's been so long in 45 years that the exact number can't be determined. But yes, you're correct. The estimate is lower from Mr. Jones as to the questions asked on the polygraph.
And help me remember, 7 to 10 times is acceptable.
Yes, sir.
So realistically, we don't have to be here at all if it's 7 to 10 times.
Exactly, and that was pretty much what I said, because I didn't realize the question got asked that way until after it was over.
Again, the only comment I would make is 45 years ago this occurred, and we have got to take a look at these rules and regulations and how we deal with them here at ASPOST. This is a little ridiculous after 45 years. Anyway, having said that, no other comments, questions, I'll ask for a motion.
Mr. Chair and Board, Joe Papiri, I move that the Board find that the information submitted is sufficient for the Board to determine that the conduct constitutes juvenile indiscretion and therefore grant the appointment.
Alan Rodville, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are going to be moving on now to final action cases. Mr. Brack.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. The first case under subsection G is involving Sean Moss. In front of you is a proposed consent agreement for the board's consideration. By way of background, Sean Moss was an Avondale police sergeant when in April 2018 he posted on his Facebook page various memes and messages. It spawned other of his Facebook friends to post additional pictures on his Facebook page. This was his personal Facebook page. Perhaps based on your experiences, officers with Facebook pages have many friends who are officers who read their Facebook pages, and that was the case involving Sergeant Moss. Various members of his police department, the Avondale Police Department, read the memes and messages and were offended by the content of the message. In particular, one department sergeant, a peer sergeant of Sergeant Moss at the time, represented that the postings were racially insensitive and to African Americans. The Avondale Police Department conducted its investigation at the employment level, concluded it reflected badly on the department, both internally and externally. Sergeant Moss was terminated. On the second page of the proposed consent agreement is a proposal that the board impose a 6-month suspension retroactively beginning on September 14th, 2018, and ending March 14th, 2019 inclusive. I don't know if Officer Moss is in the courtroom. I didn't hear. So apparently he's not. He did sign the consent agreement, and so this is the proposal in front of the board.
Thank you, sir. Any comments, questions? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Alan Rodwell will make a motion to accept the consent agreement decision order and sanction be imposed a 6-month suspension of certification beginning September 14th, 2018, and ending March 14th, 2019.
I have a motion, and I need a second, please.
Jamie Kelly, second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. And for the record, that was 18-126. Mr. Brackett will be moving on to the next, number 2, 17-062.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is a consent agreement that's proposed to the board involving Officer Colleen Schianti. The background of the facts are contained in the consent agreement, the proposed consent agreement. And to summarize, in April 2016, Officer Schianti was in Oregon where marijuana is legalized, and she smoked a marijuana cigarette one time at a private residence. Ms. Schianti, Officer Schianti, self-disclosed this information during an interview, during a new hire interview, when she was testing for a police agency. At the time that that this occurred in Oregon, when she smoked the marijuana cigarette, she was not employed with a police agency, so she was in between jobs. Took a vacation to Oregon, and this event occurred. The board initiated in this case on February 21st, 2018. Respective counsel have spent time to propose this settlement agreement. Officer Schianti has not been employed since January 18th, 2017. So to pick up on what the colonel mentioned in the prior case today, in this case, the marijuana that she consumed was not tested. We're going off of her word and her her experiences that she believes it was marijuana. So there is a little bit of discipline history that I could share on what the board has done previously. If you're interested in me presenting that now, I can, or if you'd like to wait and hear from respective counsel.
No, I'd like to know.
While so, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I found one case, post staff found one case from 2012 involving a single use of marijuana off duty in a state where it was legalized. It involved a sergeant with the Flagstaff Police Department. This is back in 2012. And in that case, that sergeant self-reported that he believed he smoked marijuana while he was at a concert. Ultimately, it went to hearing, and ultimately the judge mirrored the sentiment that whether it was or was not marijuana, it was based off of the officer's experience, but it hadn't been tested. So that issue came up in that case. What the board ultimately did in that case in 2012 was no action. Nonetheless, we have a consent agreement in front of you, and it's submitted to you without a proposed discipline, except that revocation is not on the table. So that was removed. Any questions from me?
Chair, I have a question.
Yes.
So understanding that, am I correct in assuming that lapse is 2020, January 2020?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments, questions? And is there someone here to speak?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm Attorney Dan LeCavalier. I represent Ms. Cianti. I believe that the parties are on all fours with regards to the consent agreement, the facts that are included there, and the recommendations. As noted, revocation is not on the table. She has not been operating as an officer of the law since approximately January of 2017. Believe that it's appropriate in this case that if the suspension is to come down, functionally time served would be the recommendation from Ms. Cianti and me as her counsel. She has not been able to basically practice as a law enforcement officer since that time. The disclosure was made without any vacillation, that she was very forthright in presenting that during an oral board assessment for a new employer at the time when she was interviewed. Again, this happened when it was in a legal state in Oregon specifically, not within Arizona. She was not operating as a police officer at the time when the disclosure happened either. She's incredibly remorseful that this has come to pass, that you know, her livelihood and the training and the academy that she's had to do in order to operate as a patrol officer has been potentially compromised by one mistake. So I think that based on those limited suspension that covers the time period from the initiation of these proceedings up until today would be the appropriate sanction handed down by the board. And she's here as well to give a brief statement just about that if you have a moment.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that I am very remorseful, and I just really want to get back on and start, put this behind me and start fresh.
Thank you very much. Any comments, questions?
Thank you.
Having none, may I have a motion, please? Could I ask that those on the phone mute your phones? I think we're getting a lot of sound from the
Mr. Chair, I'm muted.
Okay. I am too muted. It might be my radio. I'm on duty. I'll turn my radio down.
Thanks, Matt.
Apologize.
Yes, sir.
I've been using this as a bully pulpit today. I'll chime in as well. My concern is that as Arizona grapples with the same decisions many states have already made, and we'll be grappling with that, I think, in the very near future, this board will be tested time and time again with issues such as this, where people are using marijuana in a state that's legal and still have law enforcement responsibilities. And so I have some really great concerns, although I don't have any answers, as to how we're going to deal with that in the future. And I just I want to make sure we don't create precedent here and that we'll be tied to in the future. And so I'll make a motion. If the board's ready for a motion, there's no further discussion on that.
Any other comments or discussion? I know we have some past dealings, at least one. But anyway, any other comments, questions? Having none, Chief, if you'd like to make your motion.
So I'll make a motion to accept the consent agreement decision and order and offer a suspension to lapse, which is January.
Is there a second?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So if we allow it to lapse, and that's a suspension time, and she does what she wants to do, which is to start fresh, the lapse in her certification would not preclude her from reapplying with the law enforcement agency. Is that correct?
That would be my understanding, Mark. Is that yours?
She could reapply for the police department.
Yeah, because just because your certification lapsed doesn't mean you can't reapply, correct?
That's correct, Colonel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I second the motion. Frank, I'll stay.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion on that?
So how does the certification become valid or current then? Do you have to do something specific or
to test?
She'll have to test. She'll lapse, and then she'll have to reapply and then be recertified.
Okay.
So I guess that we haven't voted yet, but so when that comes,
It would have to be through an academy, or is this you challenge the test? How would this work? Because we are going to see this again, I'm sure. How is this going to work? How would we know? Could you waiver? You could do a waiver.
Just briefly, Mark Brechtel. We roundtabled this with Billy Caldwell. I think he's best to summarize that question.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Caldwell.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. If the suspension goes through 3 years to lapse, then Ms. Chianti would have to apply with a law enforcement agency. She'd have to undergo a complete background investigation, just like any other applicant would have to do. And then she would have to take the POPAT, the firearms, what we in Georgia call EVOC, which y'all call driving here. And she'd also have to take the written test. When she satisfied all those requirements and she passes the background investigation, she would be able to be appointed and certified again in the state. Would
she then have to waiver based on the usage history being?
No, if y'all grant the petition today, then essentially that part of her background would be good to go. She would have to pass a background investigation on all aspects of her life from the last background, you know, sort of starting off where she left off with her last law enforcement agency. Everything would have to be within standards within that time. But no, if you grant the petition on this issue, she would be eligible for certification again. Again, she passes the background and then passes all the tests that she would have to do. It would almost be like a sort of an out-of-state waiver applicant, if that makes sense, somebody that was certified in Georgia, New York, or anything like that. It's similar to that.
Mr. Chairman, it's very close. It resembles what you just heard from the last applicant coming through. It's a waiver process that you have, so you don't have to attend another academy. You just have to go through those proficiency skills and get waived through.
Yes, sir.
So my understanding is if a retired law enforcement officer, well, not retired, but someone left 3 years later, decided to come back into law enforcement, they go through this process.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Which happens pretty frequently.
Okay. Any other questions, comments about this? We have a motion and a second. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye.
One opposed?
One opposed.
One opposed, and the motion will carry. Thank you very much. And we will be moving on to the next case, 19-003.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In front of you is a consent agreement, proposed consent agreement, involving Officer Rochelle Thomas. Respective counsel is here today as well, in case you have additional comments. But by way of background, Sergeant Thomas was with the Glendale Police Department and had been for 10 years when on September 9th, 2018, she violated a court order. Specifically, it was an order out of Maricopa County Superior Court, and the order prohibited her from having any firearms in her house until her daughter turned 18 years of age. And that firearm included her duty weapon. She was a working sergeant, but nonetheless, she was not allowed to have that firearm at her residence. There was a violation of that court order on September 9th, 2018. No criminal charges were filed. She was disciplined by her agency and was terminated. She has not been employed since December 29th, 2018. So in front of you is a proposal to settle this matter, and the parties have submitted this to you with a recommendation of a 2-year suspension starting December 29th, 2018 and running to December 29th, 2020. So that suspension period will include some retroactive suspension as well as prospective. Does the board have any questions?
Jamie Kelly, I need to recuse myself, please.
Okay, let that be noted. And is there any questions or comments of Mr. Brock?
Frank Milston.
Yes, sir.
Mark, she was terminated for this infraction or for a combination of other things?
My understanding is this infraction. But that could be clarified by counsel.
Okay. Because there just seems to me something's missing here. The way this is written, I'm not sure that I understand how you get terminated for that. So.
I think we have someone else here that might speak as well. Is that the case?
Catherine Bailey.
Good morning, Ms. Bailey.
Good morning, Catherine.
Chair and members of the board, I'm Catherine Bailey. Our office represents Rochelle Thomas. To answer your question in regard to, Rochelle Thomas actually resigned in lieu of termination, and that is on there. The agency was looking at termination, but her daughter was having a significant issue, and she did resign in lieu of termination. So we were never able to determine and go to an appeal hearing or whatever to determine if that would have been a termination that would stick, because Rochelle did step down.
Any other questions, comments? Having none, may I have a motion?
Frank Mills said, I move that we accept the consent agreement and decision and order with a 2-year suspension of the peace officer certification. And I'm going to need to have a little time here with the dates.
December
9th, 2018 to September 20th. September 9, 2018 to September 9, 2020?
December, not September.
Did I say December?
Yeah.
Why
no, September.
Okay, September. September 9, 2018?
It's December, sir.
Okay. Then you do it.
Here you go.
I got the wrong date. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so December 29, 2018 to December 29, 2020.
And it'll be around second.
I have a motion and a second, and we have those dates down. And any other discussion reference this motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll be moving on to the next. Mr. Rattles, 19-083.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That we noted.
This case involves, he was then a trooper with DPS. His name is Casey Cernak. And by way of history, over a week's period during the holiday season in 2018, Trooper Cernak queried a CGIS for personal reasons. And he queried a CGIS for personal reasons on his two ex-wives. He also ran driver's license checks, several of them, regarding his two ex-wives. During the internal investigation, the trooper admitted to these violations and was straightforward. So this is a case involving inappropriate use of a CGIS. And that being said, in front of you is a proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension. It includes some retroactive suspension time and then prospective. So the proposal is from June 1st, 2019 and ending May 31st, 2020. And I am not aware if Trooper Cernak is in the room or not, if he'd like to speak. So he is not present. Nonetheless, his signature is on the proposed consent agreement for the board's consideration.
Thank you, sir. If there's no questions or comments, may I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, Alan Rodzell, I'll make a motion to accept the consent agreement decision and order and recommend a sanction of suspension for a period of 12 months beginning June 1st, 2019, ending on May 31st, 2020.
Tom Kelly, a second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bracknell. And next, we're going to be moving to 19-081. Mrs. Waite, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Members of the board, I'm Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. Final action case on Richard Morales, formerly with Winslow Police Department. And some history for you. On March 22nd of this year, Officer Morales authored a department report wherein he documented that he discovered marijuana on a male suspect during a pat-down search. A review of his body camera footage clearly indicated the marijuana was actually discovered by another officer that was on scene with him and during the pat-down search. The suspect had been arrested that night for a variety of different charges to include resisting arrest and possession of marijuana. However, the Navajo County Attorney's Office declined to pursue all charges, partially based on the false information referenced the discovery of the marijuana contained within Officer Morales' department report. And the second part of that was they had requested that he author a supplemental report, which he failed to submit to the county attorney's office. The board initiated proceedings in August of this year. A complaint was mailed to Mr. Morales. Mr. Morales and I have had several phone conversations. He actually signed for a copy of the complaint on August 24th, and we had a phone conversation on September 10th. Where he advised that he wanted to waive his right to the administrative hearing and wanted to proceed to final action today. Mr. Morales is in the audience, and he would like to speak with you when I'm finished. So research by our staff was conducted, and in past similar fact-based circumstances, the staff recommends that you revoke certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions or comments? Thank you, Ms. White. Ms. Morales?
Good morning, sir. Morning, board members. Thank you for giving me this opportunity today to speak on my behalf. My name is Richard Morales, formerly of the Winslow Police Department. I'm here today to provide my own personal accounts of the events that led to my termination on March 22nd of this year. I understand that I am not allowed to provide any documents or evidence to today's hearing. In doing so, I voluntarily waive my rights to an administrative hearing, and I am ready to hear the board's decision on a final act decision. But first, in regards to the said allegation number one on March 22nd, yes, it is true that on my own submitted departmental report, I did state that I found the marijuana on a male suspect during a pass search, when in fact the marijuana was found by a different officer. My own body camera footage does in fact verify the statement. Although my written statement contradicts this footage, I in no way had any intention to lie in my report. It was simply an oversight on my part, a fact overlooked when I submitted my report that night, and overlooked by the shift sergeant that night as well, and overlooked by the detective sergeant who approved my report and submitted my report for charges. I am not placing blame to anyone for my oversight. I simply am pointing out how easy this error was overlooked. To provide more proof that I had no intention of lying on my report, my evidence submission chain of custody proves that I correctly accounted for the marijuana being found first by the other officer, then I took possession. In regards to allegation number two, although it is true that I failed to submit a supplemental report between March 25th through June 13th, I would like to point out that the following business day, the 25th of March, I received an email from the prosecutor directly asking me to clarify why I had to go hands-on with the suspect in order to justify the aggravated assault charges, to clarify how and when or who found the marijuana on the suspect. I immediately responded to the prosecutor that day via email with the information, but I did not complete a supplemental report. I failed to do so since I was just busy with personal and work schedules. Having made these two statements justifying my actions, I am ready to take ownership of my actions and fall on my sword and be at the mercy of the board. If I can just say a few words, I took pride in representing the Winslow Police Department for 15 months. During those 15 months, I received countless commendations and compliments from the public, citizens, and even our sitting judge for the Winslow Justice Court. I volunteered my time helping and mentoring at-risk youth in the school district during those 15 months. I constantly led our department on calls for service taken and arrests made month after month. With that, I am ready to hear my final judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any comments or questions for Mr. Morales? Okay, having none, may I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, Joe Furia, I recommend that the board accept the
findings of fact and conclusion of law and impose the sanction of revocation of Mr. Morales' certification.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Mark Dannell, second.
Sheriff Dannell, second. Is there further discussion on this? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. We're going to be moving on to the next, 19-132. Morning, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. Mike Dalton with your compliance unit. This case involves Michael Walters, an officer with the Central Arizona Water Conservation District. This case came to us a couple, maybe 3 months ago. The actual conduct occurred a couple years ago in 2017, and it involves a mandatory revocation based off of our rural felony conviction. A quick summary, Officer Walters was off duty. There were some local high school kids bothering his daughter. They got in a little bit of a confrontation. He ended up going to the parents' house, asked the parents to kind of have the kids stay away from his daughter. As he was leaving, going down a street in Wickenburg, some of those kids came out in two different vehicles. One of the vehicles swerved and acted like it was going to hit him. They did not hit his car, but the second vehicle came up and was throwing the finger and yelling expletives with it to him and just all kinds of stuff. So he was upset. He got emotional. He ended up pushing his car, forcibly taking his car, driving it into that second car, very slowly, but moving it off the roadway and coming to a stop, kind of a slow pit almost. And nobody got hurt from that, but there was an altercation there. Wickenburg PD shows up. They take a report. They submit the charges, basically felony charges, ag assault initially. The county attorney pled it down to an endangerment class 6, which he signed as a sentencing agreement. So he was, in fact, convicted of a class 6 felony. That class 6 felony falls under the 109 rule, revocation certified status of a peace officer is mandatory. So that's where we have it left off. He's still currently employed, but waiting for this decision.
Which is pretty much mandatory.
Yes, sir. The chief there is keeping him on as a civilian employee, but it wasn't until this was signed that he decided that he had to make action for his SORN status. But this, under 109, it's a mandatory revocation because of the felony conviction.
Comments, questions? If not, then I would ask for a motion.
Alan Rodwell, I'll make a motion to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and impose a sanction of revocation.
I need a second, please.
Tom Kelly, close a second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 And those opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Duffer. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And we are going to be moving on to new cases, 19-116. Sir?
Christopher Gavin was a Phoenix PD applicant, had gone through the process, was appointed. We conducted the audit, successful audit. He was still in the employment phase of it and hadn't gone. He was an out-of-state waiver candidate. I should make sure that's clear. He was an officer, I believe, in Virginia for a few years. Came out here before he actually began the process to waiver, to take the test for the waiver. He was required to submit a urine analysis. It's just a normal part of his employment process. In April, that UA came back with a high level of testosterone. The testosterone reading exceeded the threshold for Phoenix PD standards. The reviewing physician told the Phoenix PD hiring unit, this never went to IA or anything, stayed in the hiring unit, that although the physician couldn't determine what Mr. Gavin had in his system at the time that the UA was conducted, there was something in there boosting that testosterone over the normal limits. Christopher Gavin told the sergeant at the hiring unit, as well as me later in a phone call, basically the same thing. He said, I've worked out my entire adult life. I stay physically fit. I use a regimen of over-the-counter legal supplements. Some of them do involve testosterone boosters, but legal. He said, I couldn't tell you exactly what I had in my system back then because he goes, I changed that regimen often. I changed the cocktail of what I use all the time so I don't stay in the same mode with the same supplements. I'm paraphrasing. But the bottom line is, as he said, he did not take anything illegal, had never taken anything illegal or banned, whether he was a cop in Virginia or out here for his own health and for his career, he wouldn't have done that. So really there was no way to determine what was in his system other than what he's telling us. The doctor said they couldn't confirm one way or the other what he had in the system. So there's no real evidence that he had anything illegal, but just that the testosterone was too high. Phoenix PD let him retire or let him resign because of that. And so what we're recommending is that based on that information, that some follow-up be conducted if he wants to reapply with another Arizona law enforcement agency, which he indicated to me that he did. And I listed several questions. If he goes through a process with another agency, that he'll be required to answer face-to-face with the background investigator as well as a polygraph exam, and then the agency can determine at that time what happened. So based on this, and for cases just like this, there's really nothing more that we can do or the agency can do. So if he does reapply, that our recommendation is that, that you resolve this in the future because there's nothing else we can do at this point. We will ask these questions, or the agency that hires him in the future, if that happens, we'll ask those questions. We can get down to a little bit more into the weeds as to actually what occurred.
Questions? Yes, sir.
So Phoenix has a threshold that they set, but another department may not have that same threshold, so he could have applied. If he had applied at another agency with a different threshold, that this would have never come up, or is that a state?
I would make assumptions on that. I don't know if it's the same across the board or not. This was through, I think, Concentra, but it could be the same for other agencies. I don't know. I don't know what the exact numbers are. I just know it's over that threshold, whatever their numbers are for testosterone.
But yet they weren't able to determine if there was anything there.
They knew something was on board in the system, but they just couldn't tell us what. The doctor said that that UA doesn't provide the breakdown of what it could have been.
Yes, sir.
So a question, what's the difference between resolving in the future or leaving it with agency discretion?
Resolving in the future will give us a little bit more weight in terms of when he goes through another process, if that occurs, to alert that agency, hey, here's what happened in the past. We want this resolved before you move forward with the appointment.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, this is a silly conversation in the sense that, I mean, you hear ads on the radio every day for going to the doctor and taking care of issues that deal with testosterone with men. I mean, at what point are we going to over-regulate the fact that somebody may or may not be going to the doctor for something that's legal?
Good point. Any other discussion?
Well, just, but if he had demonstrated he had a prescription from a doctor under doctor's care, would Phoenix still take the same physician?
I would assume no. Yeah. It was a prescription. But.
Simply, Mr. Chairman, just Phoenix, I used to run their UAs over there. So the way this pops up is they set a threshold that is extremely high that you cannot just get on over-the-counter. You can't go into a GNC or anything else. So with that, you're right, Chief Redbell, is before anybody's notified, if you come up hot on a test, specifically for testosterone, they will call the applicant, they will call the employee and say, do you have a prescription for this? Come out now. And when they say they don't, then they let them know, we have to report you to your agency at that point in time.
Okay, thank you.
Comments, questions? May I have a motion?
Alan Rodville will make a motion we resolve in the future.
Frank Mustad, second. Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're moving on to the next, 19-079.
Mr. Chairman, this last case of mine involves retired Phoenix officer Brian Knuckles. Last January of this year, Detective Knuckles was part of an FBI task force. They were working a large event out in Glendale at the arena. This was typical for their unit to do these. It wasn't something new that he hadn't done before, so he showed up a little bit early. He and another Phoenix detective were there in the same lot that they always park. They had briefed that that's the lot that they would park in initially, and the gate was open, so they drove in and they parked. Shortly after they parked, the lot attendant showed up and said, "Hey, you can't park here. Well, I was instructed that you're not supposed to park here." They had a little back and forth about, hey, this is where we were told to park. That lot attendant ended up going to the supervisor. That supervisor came out and said, hey, yeah, he was right. You can't park here today. I don't know why. Again, there was some back and forth between Detective Knuckles and the supervisor for the lot attendant. At some point, it got heated to the point where the lot attendant supposedly was instructed by a second-level supervisor to just go ahead and lock the gate. I don't know if that was not to let them out or not to let other people in. I think it was a little bit of a both. They were flexing their, you know, whatever they were doing, they were getting upset with each other, and they locked the two detectives in there, their cars in there. So, again, the argument continued. Detective Knuckles said, look, if you don't open the gate and let us out, I can arrest you or at least detain you for kidnapping or obstruction of justice of some type. I can't do my job if you leave me in here with my car. The lot attendant supervisor at the scene refused to do so. Detective Knuckles took him into custody with handcuffing him, searched him, found the key to the gate, walked over to the gate, unlocked the gate, and opened it up, brought the key back, gave it to him, and then unhandcuffed him and released him. Didn't release him out of the area, but just unhandcuffed him. Information had been going back and forth to other task force investigators and the supervisor that wasn't on scene yet because Knuckles was early, so everybody wasn't there, relayed back to the other detective that was with Knuckles, hey, just have him go home for the rest of the day. Let's defuse this whole situation. Just go home and we'll work out what happened later. So Knuckles ended up going home. There were no charges filed by Glendale PD on Knuckles or any charges filed on the supervisor who had kept Knuckles' car in that lot. After the supervisor went to Phoenix PD's professional standards to make a complaint about all this, the bottom line that Phoenix came up with was, yeah, he probably did technically have a reason to hold him there for obstructing. There was a Glendale City Code that talks about obstruction of governmental operations that could fit this, but they believe that it was inappropriate use of force or inappropriate use of your police authority, and that was the policy violation that they sustained. Knuckles ended up retiring out of all this, but he would have received a suspension somewhere between 24 and 40 hours and not terminated. So based on the fact that the totality of the circumstances, what we're recommending as staff is that you take no action with agency discretion. This is similar fact-based circumstances from other cases where it's more of a policy violation in the end. Are there any questions?
Having no questions, may I have a motion?
Tom Kelly, I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation by staff that they take no action with agency discretion.
Alan Rogo will second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Del Terry. We're moving on to let it be noted that 18154 will be tabled for future review. 18151 will be tabled for future review. And Mr. Jacobs, we're moving on to 19-093.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. This case involves a former Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy who on September 16th of 2017 responded to a single vehicle accident in the early morning hours. At the accident scene, the officer was noted advising his supervisor, responding fire department, and others, officers on scene, that he could not smell any alcohol on the operator of the vehicle that was involved in the accident. But due to the circumstances, they did do a portable breath test, and the person registered as a 0.115. They did a BAC. The result of the BAC came back at 0.117. However, when this officer authored his written report regarding the matter, he put in his report that the probable cause, amongst other things, was the smell of alcohol emitting from the operator's person. Later, when interviewed by a defense attorney, a telephone interview by the driver's defense attorney, he also informed the defense attorney that his probable cause was developed partially as a result of the odor emitting from the operator of the vehicle. And in his experience, he made a determination that the person could possibly be under the influence. The defense attorney asked the deputy how much experience he had with DUIs, and he reported approximately 12 such cases, when in fact, he was relatively new deputy, and this particular case was his second DUI case. He was let go, or allowed to resign in lieu of termination for false information. Is there any questions?
Having no questions, may I have a motion?
Alan Rodd will make a motion to initiate proceedings.
Frank Nelson, second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Now, at this time, as a call to the public, if there's anyone that would like to speak just for a few moments, we make that available. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, there is no call to the public on this agenda. I apologize.
Makes it easy.
Well, it's on mine. Sorry.
It's a cheat sheet, but it's not.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We'll get you again. But it's not on the agenda. I can't do it, so I'm sorry. And it is on my cheat sheet here. So having said that, Mr. Henry, any further agenda for the future that you'd like to bring up?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman. Do you want to? I'm sorry. The video, we will send out your email address. And just to reiterate, Matt has sent out other messages to the department heads to ensure that they have an opportunity to view not only the video, but to respond to the survey.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, I will call for an adjournment.
So moved.
So moved. Thank you, everyone.